Well, good evening and welcome to our Armor of God series as we continue in our studies, looking at the armor of God from Ephesians chapter 6. And tonight we are going to continue with the shoes of peace. Ephesians 6 and 15 says, "And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." So we've been studying the armor of God, as I mentioned, the last 2 weeks. We looked at the belt of truth and we looked at the breastplate of righteousness. And Paul instructed us to put on. So we have been putting on three aspects. We've put on the belt of truth. We've put on the breastplate of righteousness. And finally, tonight, we will put on the shoes of peace. So what is truth then? Well, just to recap and review very briefly, truth comes from the word Emmet. Emmet meaning faithful, reliable. Our righteousness comes from truth, right living through conduct and honoring of God. Our peace comes through that belt of truth that we put around our waist. Inner stability through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our faith by putting into action God's word and living by it. Our salvation, all that God has gifted us through his Son so that we could be victorious. How? Because we have taken the word of God, the belt of truth, and we have enwrapped ourselves, we have surrounded ourselves with the belt of truth. And so what does this belt do? It represents that word of God that I just mentioned. The word of God that is always fresh, the word of God that is always relevant, it is alive and it is worth living by. The word of God that reminds us to pray and to have regular conversations with God, receiving from him. As we speak with him, he speaks with us. Where? He speaks with us primarily through his word. And then we could access through his word victory. We can access through his word power, promises. All are found within his word. And when we apply the word of God, when we take the belt of truth and we put it on, we are being grounded in God's word. And therefore, we could disarm the enemy. How? We could disarm the enemy by abiding in truth, and making decisions according to God's truth. So then we saw that there's no breastplate of righteousness without the belt of truth. Righteousness is the completion of truth. And so the breastplate is responsible to guard. The breastplate is responsible to protect. It is responsible to be a shield to what? Our spiritual heart, the inner man of who we are. And that in Christ we took on a new man, a new behavior. When we believed in Christ as our Savior, we took on the identity of Christ, this new man of Christ, and we cast off the old man. We decided we were no longer living or going to live according to our old ways, our old habits, our old temptations. We were going to surrender those at the foot of the cross, where God clothed us in the righteousness of Christ. And so we cast off those works of darkness and we put on the armor of light. And so tonight we're going to look at the next step of the putting on of this armor, and that is the shoes of the gospel. Let's just pause and pray here for a moment. Father God, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you once again for the privilege that we have to meet on air, that Lord, even though we can't be in person together, God, we could just meet from living room and office to den, from church office to den, and God, we could be one together as we just break open your word. I pray, Spirit of the living God, that you would enlighten our understanding tonight to receive all that you have for us in this truth, why you would have Paul to say to put on the shoes, the gospel of peace. In Jesus' name we pray, we just commit everything to you. Amen. And so after drawing our attention to the belt of truth, to the breastplate of righteousness, Paul then draws our attention to these shoes, and rightfully so, because when we open up the Ephesian text of the armor of God, right in the offset of verse 10, he says to us, be strong in the Lord. Verse 11, stand against the schemes of the devil. Then again in verse 13, having done all, stand firm. And so here he is exhorting us, stand therefore, stand firm. And then in verse 14, stand having fastened on the belt, having put on the breastplate, and as shoes for your feet, having put on readiness. And so here Paul is telling us, stand firm, stand therefore. Why would he exhort us? How do we stand? Listen to how he says it in the American Standard. That verse 15, you'll have to listen. It won't appear in the American Standard on your screen. But it says, having strapped your feet with the gospel, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having strapped on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. I had a cousin when she was growing up. I have a cousin. And when she was growing up, she loved to put on her mother's shoes. And when she would wear these shoes, one of the favorite things that she also liked to do was go down the hallway of their house, the parquet floors. And so these high heel shoes would clunk, 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 clunk all the way down the wooden hallway, and it would make some sort of a noise. And she used to love to play that dress up. In fact, she wore these high heel shoes enough that within the family it was believed perhaps she was born to wear high heels. Perhaps she was born with these high heels on. But that is something that children like to do. Children like to play dress up. They like to wear the shoes of their parents or their older siblings or their grandparents, their aunts per se. They like to their uncles. They want to get on the work boots and go outside and play in the dirt. They like to play imagination. Why? Because imagination brings us to another world. Imagination brings us to that place where everything is seemingly perfect. Everything is just out as we as little children would perceive it to be. And so we find ourselves traveling there as we put on our mommy's high heels, our daddy's work boots. And so tonight we are going to put on our father's shoes. And so Paul instructs us, put on the shoes of the gospel. Put on the shoes of the gospel. And so some of us hearing that, it's going to seem weird. But, you know, in the first century after Christ's death, the third emperor, Caligula, some people know him as Gaius. When he was a young boy, what he would do was he would hang around with the Roman army contingent. And when he would hang around with them, he did this so much that he had his own little mini version of the armor, the Roman outfit that they would wear, the armor that they would wear. And so right down to the little boots. And so what they did was, because he was commonly in amongst them and I guess maybe endearingly seeing him with these boots on, they called him Caligae. And so Caligae, the soldiers nicknamed him Caligae, meaning little bootykins. They nicked him little bootykins. And so the Roman soldiers, when Paul, remember, I want to keep you in the forefront of your memory, when Paul is writing this letter to the Ephesians, he is in jail. And so what he is seeing commonly in front of him, what he was very familiar with as growing up in Rome, was the Roman soldiers and their attire. And there, as he's writing the letter, and he's wanting to convey to them that they are to be demonstrators, or they are to walk in the gospel of peace, he has this illustration in front of him of the Roman soldier and his caliga, or the boots that he would wear. And these caliga were a heavy sole, leather sole. I'm going to bring our little micro version of of our half of a Roman soldier. Anyways, his shoes, they are several strips of leather put together. So something that, if you look at the bottom of your screen, you should see the image there, that looks like a sandal. So the sole was a little thicker than the rest of it. And what they would do was they would take nails and they would pound the nails through in a various formation. And then on the other side, they would clip the nails. And so the nails would act like a spike on the bottom sole of these shoes. And this was, they called these the hobnails. And so these hobnails would be similar to, if you are familiar with soccer cleats or track and field cleats or golf cleats, baseball cleats, they had these hobnails underneath them that would allow them to firmly grip the terrain that they were on. And they had these strips of leather that formed the covering of the shoe. Now, it was exactly as you see it. It looked like a sandal. It doesn't look like the steel-toed boots that we would see on a soldier today, but these strips of leather were on purpose. They were meant to create a ventilation so that when the soldiers would have to travel through muddy terrain or watery rivers, that then the water would pass through, the feet would easily dry, and then again those hobnails would cause them to have a sure footing. And so these were the type of feet that the type of shoes that were on the feet of the Roman soldiers. And Paul is saying to us, put on the gospel shoes. Put on the shoes that are going to give you a sure footing. Put on the shoes that when circumstances of life, when the waters of life and the muddy terrain of life pass through, that your feet will easily dry. They will not be walking for hours or days, perhaps in wet shoes, waiting for these shoes to dry. Paul is saying, get yourselves ready. Stand firm. And this is what allowed these soldiers to be able to stand firm, because they had the spikes on the bottom of the shoes. Earlier I had mentioned to you Ephesians 6 and 15, and I read it to you from the New American Standard, but listen to how the New King James Version says it. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having shod your feet with the preparation. The word preparation in the Greek is hitomasia, hitomasia, meaning the state of being prepared, the state of being ready, the state of preparation. And so what is Paul wanting us to prepare for? What is it that he's having us to shod? How does it make sense if he's telling us you're in a place of preparation, but he's telling us, having put on, now that you've put the shoes on, if I'm having put on, I'm regularly doing so. And so he's calling us to a place of preparation, a place of regularly preparing ourselves, regularly getting ready for what is ahead, what is to come. And so when we consider our study from a month or so ago when we looked at the book of Galatians and we saw the relationship of the Jews and the Gentiles and how they didn't get along. We could see that the Jews often looked down upon the Gentiles as though they were a second-class citizen because they didn't follow the traditions of the Jewish law. And so now Paul is speaking to these Ephesians and they are in a similar place in which still though there's still that contention between the Jews and the Galatians, and he is saying to them, put on your peace shoes. Get ready for what is ahead. Listen, you need to put your shoes of peace on. You need to know your terrain. You need to know in what way you stand. You need to know the truth. You know, you need to know in the midst of the life that you are in right now, in the midst of the people that are around you, you need to be firmly established. You need to stand firm in the truth that you know. Remember, we're put on the breastplate of righteousness, put on the belt of truth, put on the shoes of the gospel. Let's break it down. We're just going to slow down the gear just a minute. And what we want to consider, if Paul is asking us to put on the shoes of the gospel, the shoes of peace, let's pause and consider for one moment. And I hope you have your pen and paper ready, because what is Bible study if you can't make notes? What are some areas that may need to be highlighted in your life where there is not peace? What are some areas of your life, some areas of disharmony, some areas of unrest, some areas that are lacking peace? What troubles your mind? What weighs heavy on your heart? What is wearing your body down? What matter is troubling you between you and your spouse? You and your children? Maybe you and a friend or a coworker? What matter? Make a note to yourself. Whatever applies to you. What is disturbing your peace tonight? Because we are going to put our Father's shoes on and we are going to see how this helps us to walk out this gospel of peace. See, the enemy comes to what? He comes to seek to steal, kill, and destroy. So therefore, he wants to destroy any areas of peace that is in our life, because peace represents God. Because Jesus is what? The Prince of Peace. So anything that would represent Jesus in our life, especially peace, he will go out after that. He will zero in on that area. Wherever you are firmly established in peace, the enemy is going to try and catch you unguarded in that area to make that foundation shaky. He wants to disrupt your well-being. He wants to disrupt your stability. He wants to make you uneasy, unbalanced. Have you ever felt a little bit dizzy and you go to take a walk and you're like, why is the ground under me shifting? The enemy wants to come and bring that uneasiness, that feeling as though the ground under you is shifting, into your spiritual life, your spiritual relationship with Christ. Why? Because he wants to disturb your peace. He wants to fill you with anxiety, with worry, with turmoil, so that you are found lacking. But Paul wanted the early believers, he wanted the Ephesians to understand where they stood. He wanted them to know, listen, it boils down to this. You have to know your identity in Christ. You have to know, as a child of God, who you are in Christ. Where is your faith founded on? You who have come into Christ, in which have you founded that faith on? Paul wants them to know. He goes right back to the very, if you were to read the first three, first three chapters of Ephesians, you will see how Paul unpacks their relationship, their faith, and their identity in Christ. Ephesians 1 and 3 says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in what? In Christ, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." We are blessed. We're blessed. It's part of our identity. We are blessed as children of God. Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, the very first part of 14. "In him you also, when you heard of the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance." We are sealed in the Holy Spirit. We have a promised inheritance. We are blessed, we are sealed, and we have a promised inheritance. Oh, it doesn't stop there. Ephesians 1, 18 to 19 says this: "Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe." We are blessed. We are sealed in the Holy Spirit. We have a great inheritance. Now we are called. We have a hope. We have a calling that he has established for us. What else does Paul want to zero into them? What else does he want them to understand? You see, this is what establishes your firm foundation. This is what establishes your readiness with the gospel. He says in Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." When you believed in Christ, when you believed in the finished work of the cross, that Jesus came, he died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. When you chose to believe in that and you established that as your faith marker in Christ, you put on his identity. His robes of righteousness were exchanged, as we looked at last week. He put his righteousness upon us so that when God looked at us, he didn't see us according to our sin baggage. He saw us according to the righteousness of his Son. You did not do anything that could save you. There was nothing that you could do to save yourself. You could only be saved through Christ. We are blessed. We have been sealed, and we have an eternal inheritance. We have been called. We have a calling. And we have received Christ's identity. We cannot save ourselves. And once more, what? Ephesians 3, 16 to 19. "That according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." What? "That you may be rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." You are blessed. You are sealed. You have an inheritance. You have a calling. You are called. You have an identity that has been established in Christ, and you have been filled with the fullness of God. Your identity is hidden in Christ. When God looks at us, he sees the finished work of his Son. He doesn't see your past. He doesn't see your baggage. He doesn't see your sin. But he sees the righteousness as we have established. So we want to understand, we are putting on, we put on truth, we put on the breastplate of righteousness. We want to protect, we want to guard what God has done in that spiritual man. We want to make sure that it is protected and guarded from those onslaughts of the enemy. Why? Because we want to know, and we do know, that our righteousness has been found in Him. And we want to seal off any holes that may be in our armor. So we can't always control the kind of ground that we're on. So Paul has reestablished with the Ephesians, look, this is who you are. This is your identity. This is who Christ has made you to be. Put on those gospel shoes. Make sure that you are able to stand firm. Why? Because one day the pink slip may come. Perhaps you've been given a pink slip and you no longer have work. Perhaps you've received one of the bad news, a positive test result from the doctor that deems that now your body is ridden with a disease. Perhaps you've received an upsetting message from someone, a friend, a family member, that has just shifted your inner terrain. Perhaps you're suffering in a relationship, be it abuse of sorts. You see, we all are on some sort of shifting ground at one time or another. Storms hit all of us. Storms is no respecter of person. It rains on the good and the bad. And so Paul is wanting to establish, make sure you have your gospel shoes on, the readiness of gospel of peace. Make sure you are able to stand firm. Make sure that those cleats, those hobnails are fixed into the ground, that when the storms of life hit, you are not going to be shifted. When there's too much mud, you're not going to slide, you're not going to fall, but you will be firmly fixed. That's why we put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. It was the gospel of peace brings us back to the Garden of Eden. We have referenced the Garden of Eden several times in the last couple of weeks. Why? Because there in the Garden of Eden, God created the heavens and the earth. He created man and woman. He created a wholeness. He created harmony. He created what was to be established as a relationship that He would have with man, and that man would have with Him, and that man would have with his creation. And then all of a sudden, what happened? The enemy came in and planted his seed of doubt into Eve, and she believed this seed of doubt more than she believed the word of truth: do not partake of the tree of good and evil. And the minute that she believed more power into the seed, the minute she gave more power to the seed of doubt, the harmony, the wholeness of relationship was broken. The peace, the goodness of God, the peace of God in His relationship between man and Him was now broken. And so God had to come to bring a bridge, to restore peace between He and man. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. Shalom is integrated throughout the whole Old Testament. We see the peace of God being implemented in various places. But when God brought in His shalom, what He intended to be in the Garden of Eden was a place of shalom. He intended the Garden of Eden to be that place of relationship with He and His creation, that place of harmony, that place of well-being, that place of thriving, that place of wholeness. But the enemy came in and he emitted his chaos. The enemy came in and he disturbed the peace that God had established when he influenced Eve with doubt. And sometimes that happens to us. We get influenced by doubt. We give our minds thought to doubtful things. And the minute our mind gives thought to those doubts, the minute we allow ourselves to ponder on them, then our peace in Christ is shaken. Our peace in Christ is now been turned into chaos because our minds get wavering from thought to thought. Our minds get wavering on the what ifs and what about and then what and then how will I? And so then the enemy has taken over and we find ourselves battling in this chaos. Why? Because we are living in a fractured world and God had to bring something that would restore that fracture. God had to bring something that would restore us in that right relationship with Him. And that was His Son. Paul brings us to the place. He says, look, you have tasted of the good news. You know the truth, Ephesians. You know in whom you believed in. You know that the empty tomb is a sign that Christ came. He died and He rose again. You know that that empty tomb symbolizes a victory over death, a victory over sin, your sin. You know your identity. Hold on to it. You are blessed. You have been sealed in the Holy Spirit. You have a calling. You have received from Christ righteousness, and you are filled with the fullness of God. Oh, Ephesians, oh, children of God, put on the shoes, put on the gospel of peace. You see, when the enemy disrupted God's peace in the Garden of Eden, His Son came to restore the shalom of God. He came as the Prince of Peace to bring peace into the world, to restore us into that right relationship. So the gospel speaks of Christ. When Paul is telling us, put on the gospel of peace, he's saying, be reminded. Put on Christ. Put on the identity that you have in Christ. Put on His peace. Put on the Prince of Peace. Mount those on your feet. You know, the interesting things about those strips of leather, each soldier was able to tightly fit the shoes to accommodate their feet so that the shoes would customly wove themselves around their feet. And so when Paul is telling them, put on these gospel shoes, put on your identity in Christ, he's saying, fit it to yourself. The gospel of Christ is Christ's intervention in your sinful man. It has been fitted to you. What Christ has redeemed another from, and the sins that He has been redeemed from, and the sins that you've been redeemed from, it is a custom redemption. His redemption has come to make you whole in Him. And so the shoes of the gospel is Christ coming to restore that broken relationship. Paul is saying, rise to your feet. Get ready, dress in your armor, move forward, put on that belt of truth. As you put on that belt of truth, mount that breastplate of righteousness, hook it in, clasp it into your belt of truth, put on your feet the gospel shoes, fasten them tightly, wove them, form them around your feet, that you may be firmly established in them. Preparation. Preparation, because when you're in that place of preparation, you are infused with what? You are infused with the confidence. You are infused with stability. You are infused with steadiness that you can stand knowing who you are in Christ. You see, I can't stand in and of my own doing. I will fall. I can't stand in my own strength. I will become weak. But in Christ, I can be made strong. In Christ, I can be more than a conqueror. Why? Because His strength is made perfect in me. His strength is made perfect in my times of weakness. And that is what you can know today. As you put on on those gospel shoes of peace. You are clothing yourself. You are making that final step. I'm establishing myself in the identity of Christ and who He has established me to be. And so I'm putting on my God-sized shoes. I'm putting on my Father God shoes so that I could travel to where He will take my feet to go. And that wherever He takes my feet to go, and wherever my feet may walk, they will be carriers of His peace. My life will represent His peace. Your life will represent your peace. Why? Because His peace in you. Why? Because when people look at you and they see of all that you are struggling with, I think of some families in the church that we're praying for who have been undergoing huge size problems, but when they have put on their Father's shoes, when they have put on the shoes of God the Father, they have been able to travel through those circumstances, and people looking upon them and saying, wow, are they ever strong? It's been this many years that they have been struggling with, and yet God has sustained them through it all. How many people have I known that have faced horrible diseases, and yet when I see them, they have had a glow about them. They didn't even look as though they had the disease that was just wanting to destroy and consume their body. Why? Because the gospel of peace will sustain us through these troublesome times. When we gird ourselves up, we will be carriers of His stability. We have tasted of His shalom, and so we will bring that shalom to others. We've tasted of His goodness, and so we will bring that goodness wherever we go. Isaiah 52 verse 7 says this: how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation. You see, wherever you go, when you have shod the feet of the gospel, when you have put on the feet of the gospel, the word of God says how beautiful on the mountains, how beautiful on the circumstances of life, how beautiful on that terrain that seems so hard to climb, on that circumstance that just seems so insurmountable, how beautiful on that mountain are the feet of Him who brings good news. The good news is Christ came to overcome that circumstance in your life. The good news is Christ came to establish peace in your turmoil. Christ came to bring healing in your sickness. Christ came to resolve all your indifferences. The good news is Christ came to bring salvation to you and I, to bring us out of that old man into the new man. How beautiful on the mountains, how beautiful on the turmoil of life, on the when you're standing on the peak of your problems, are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful to know that no mountain is too high that God cannot help us to climb it. How beautiful to know that Christ in us is the hope of glory. So we see that these kalega, that these soldiers wore, these kalega with the hobnails, allowed them to be firmly established, allowed them to be fixed, have firm footing, and so their feet would not slip. And so we have that same firm footing. Psalm 119 verse 165 says this: great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. You see, it goes back down to the truth. The belt of truth, the very first thing that you put on. Great peace. I could put on the gospel shoes of peace because I'm have the belt of truth. I've been surrounded. I have the word of God surrounding me. And so I'm able to take his gospel and be a carrier of that peace wherever I go. Isaiah 54 and 10. For the mountains may depart and the hills may be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Luke 1, 78 and 79 says this. Because of the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to give our feet into the way of peace. Why? Because of God's tender mercy, our feet have way into peace. Because of God's tender mercy. Why? Because when the enemy interrupted God's plan, when the enemy came in and introduced chaos, and Eve bought into that, God brought a bridge, and that bridge was his son. And so we have a way of peace. Philippians 4. 6 through 7 says this: Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? With thanksgiving. Remember that. We'll come back to it. Let your requests be made known to God, and what? And the peace of God will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, we are sure in him. We have a covenant of peace with him. Doesn't matter what shakens around us, we have a covenant of peace with him. He has established that, and he will guard our hearts and mind. We are assured that we can expect God's peace to keep us steady and stable. When we put on the gospel, the readiness of the gospel of peace. Now, if that peace is within us, then what's going to happen? It's going to overflow to others that are around us. When we're geared up with our armor, others around us are going to experience the benefits of us wearing our armor. Consider this. If they're going to experience the benefits of us being firmly establishing God's truth, having our breastplate of righteousness in place that nothing will penetrate into our heart, the soul man of who we are, that nothing will cut through to us. If we have the shoes of the gospel of peace upon our feet, and if others will experience this that come around us, likewise, if there's a breach in any of our armor, they will too encounter that breach. There will be an effect on the others. So if you have an army of soldiers, now imagine what it would have sounded like in Ephesus or in Rome when these Roman soldiers would walk the streets with these hobnails on their feet. The sound that would make on the ground, it would have been intimidating enough that anyone hearing it would know that the army was approaching. Consider likewise the army standing. They would stand side by side, linked with each other. When they were going to approach the enemy, stand side by side, they would be linked. Consider if one of them did not have their shoes on properly. Consider if one of them reported to the army line but did not have his shoes on. When they would charge forth into the enemy, what would happen? The one who would slip would be pulling down on the others. The one who would not be firmly fixed, firmly established, would be the one that would pull down and bring the others along with him, especially those that were closely in fellowship with him, closely next to him. They would all begin to topple down. If we are not firmly established with our feet being fixed or shod with the gospel of peace, with the readiness of the gospel, we could negatively influence those around us. This sometimes has happened in the local church. Ephesians 4, verses 13 and verse 16 says this: until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the statutes of the fullness of Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working what? Properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That unity is brought what? When we are working together properly, when we are held together in that unity, when we are held together, every joint equipped. And so this is why sometimes a local church could come under attack, because there are some on the front lines that have not firmly established themselves in the armor of God. As we mentioned earlier, the Jews and the Gentiles had a history of rivalry between them. They had a history that they were antagonistic towards each other. They had a history that their relationship was filled with contention and offense towards one another. Why? Because they weren't unified in the bond of love. You see, some of the Jews that came into Christ holding on to their old traditions. And that put a breach in their armor. Remember last week, Ahab? He had a breach in his armor. He was craving after the vineyard of Nabob, and he had him killed. And then what happened? When the sword was released, where did it land itself? In between the rivets of Ahab's armor. There was a place where that sword could pierce through. Why? Because he was not walking in right relationship. No matter what the issue you are facing, no matter what relational issue you are facing, the peace of God can bridge that gap. And we could be a strong army. If you're going to stand with anyone, stand with someone who is fixed in their armor. Stand with someone who has taken the word of God and has made it their belt of truth. Stand with someone who has taken the breastplate of righteousness. And they are standing in right relationship with God. And they are standing clothed in God's righteousness. If you're going to stand with someone who is ready to take that gospel of peace. And they are standing in their identity, knowing who they are in Christ. Why? Because His shalom, His peace, has broken down the walls of hostility. Ephesians said this in 2:14. Ephesians 2:14. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility. He has become our peace. Don't let the enemy put a wedge in your life. Don't let the enemy put a wedge in your armor. Make sure your armor is fastened tightly and fitted upon you, just as God has established it to be fitted, so that you can be sure. So how do we put on these gospel shoes? Well, we've asked it several times. I'm glad you asked again. It says this in Colossians 3. Verses 12 to 15. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. I like how the Passion Translation says it. It goes like this. You are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with virtues of God. Since you have been divinely chosen to be holy, be merciful as you endeavor to understand others. And be compassionate, showing kindness towards all. Be gentle, be humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Tolerate the weakness of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Christ Jesus. If you find fault with somebody, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of what? True maturity. Let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One, who called you to peace as part of His one body, and always be thankful. Always be thankful. Wow. So Paul is saying, you are carriers of God's peace. To be carriers, we're walking in the knowledge that we are fully loved. We're not walking in the knowledge that we are robed in His virtues. We are walking in the knowledge that we are divinely chosen and that we are holy. We are made holy in Him. And as we walk in these qualities, then we remember the greatest of these is what? Love. When we put on love, then we are able to demonstrate it to each other. Why? Because then when we are demonstrating love, we are walking in His virtues once again, and we become unified. We become one. Thankfulness. Thankfulness. Remember, He said, always be thankful. Remember moments ago we read Philippians 4. Verses 6 to 7. It says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, thankfulness is something that we receive and something that we give. Isn't it interesting that Paul would draw our focus in putting on the gospel shoes and putting on the readiness of the gospel? When we break down the scriptures that apply to the readiness and the preparation of the gospel, we are driven to the point of thankfulness. Why? Because when the Holy Spirit came into your life, when you believed in the finished work of the cross and you took on faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit moved in. And when the Holy Spirit moved in, He came in with all kinds of housewarming gifts that cannot be purchased at your local HomeSense. What are these housewarming gifts that the Holy Spirit brought in as He moved into your place of residence? He came in with gentleness, goodness, patience, faith, kindness, love, self-control. Why did He come in with such an array of beautiful gifts? So that then we could serve others in these gifts, as the passage just read, that we just read in Colossians 3, verses 12 to 15. The Holy Spirit came in with those housewarming gifts so that we could serve others who come into our presence, who cross our path, who come to visit. We could then give, as the Holy Spirit has poured into us, we could then pour out to others that same virtue, we are serving others. Jesus himself filled us with what? When we believed in us, in him, he came and he filled us, according to John 14, with his peace. He says, my peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I. Let not your hearts be troubled. Right? So he wanted to fill us with his peace. He wanted to allow our hearts to know that we could rest in him. But above and beyond that, he was going to fill us and equip us with such gifts that then we could serve others, so that we could keep that bond of unity, so that we could keep that bond of love, so that we could be forever marching in the readiness, in the preparation of the gospel of peace. But that only happens when we apply thankfulness. Because when somebody gives you a gift, when somebody comes and visits you and they come with such an embellishment of gifts, the first thing that you are going to do is say, thank you. Thank you. You shouldn't have. Thank you. This is beautiful. Thank you. This is wonderful. We want to say thanks. And so how do we put on the gospel of peace? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God. You see, when we come with thankfulness, the peace of God will guard us. When we come with thankfulness, it will keep our hearts and our minds. When we come with thankfulness, we will be blown away of the hedge of protection that comes. The peace of God will guard your heart. When you come with thanksgiving, when you come with thanksgiving. And so what would that look like in your day to day? You're getting up this morning. You're getting up tomorrow morning. You've got the belt of truth. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word that is going to surround me. It's going to go before me. It's going to be behind me all day long. I thank you for your breastplate of righteousness that clothes me in your virtues, that forgives the old man, that removes the old man from me. I thank you for your breastplate of righteousness that restores all relationships that I am in into right standing with you. I thank you that there are no holes in my breastplate of righteousness. We start with our thanks. I thank you, Lord, that as I put on these gospel shoes, I thank you today that no temptation, wherever I will go, no temptation will lay hold of me, according to 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 or 13. Because why? Because you are faithful to strengthen me. You are faithful to protect me in my hour of need, according to 2 Corinthians 3 verse 3. Why? Because I thank you that I could be strong in you, and I could be courageous, and I don't need to be afraid. And because you are with me, you will never leave me. You will never forsake me, according to Deuteronomy 31 and 6. I know that according to Isaiah 41 verse 10, that you will uphold me with your righteous hand. And I am putting on the gospel of peace today because, Father God, I am thankful that your right hand is holding me. I thank you because you have given me discretion, you to protect me, and understanding to guard me, according to Proverbs 2 and 11. And so I will praise your faithfulness in my life. I thank you. As you are putting on the armor of God, you are being thankful. And as you are being thankful, you would be surprised of how the God of peace comes in to guard your heart. And it will blow your understanding. He will guard every part of you. Remember the thing that you wrote down in the beginning? Remember that area that was challenged or troubling you? Well, that, when we talked about in the beginning the word hetomasia, We were talking about the readiness of the gospel, the preparation of the gospel. Well, it gives implication that you're ready to go. It gives implication that you're on your mark. If you recalled in school, when you would take part in races, the coach or the starter would say this: runners, take your mark. Ready, set, and go. When Paul came in and said that you should shod your feet with the readiness of the gospel, he is saying get ready to go. He is saying go. He's implying that you're at all times ready because the race is beginning. At all times you are ready because you're in the race. At all times you are ready because go is going to be released at any minute. The command: and runners, take your mark. And so Paul has said to us in this passage, you have truth, you have righteousness, and now you have peace. Run the race. You have your armor in place. Run the race. Let me leave with this final thought. Some people tonight, they could hear all this, and it sounds good in the moment that you're hearing it, but the minute you hear it, your thoughts begin to squash the words. Oh, but you don't know what I went through today at work. It was such a troubling time. My boss, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, you don't know the troubles that I've been facing in the home, but da-da-da-da-da-da. And you don't know that. And while you are hearing the word of preparing yourself with the gospel of peace and allowing God to be your peace over your mind, to be your peace over your emotions, so that you can be a carrier of that peace, while you are hearing that God sent Jesus as a way to let you know who you are in Him, to let you know who your true identity is, you already were preconceiving and setting up your defenses in saying you don't know, but that's because you haven't, and I've been this, and already you are comparing your really bad, sour situation as though you are in the worst of it all, in the midst of turmoil that no one has ever faced. But Jesus has faced it all on the cross. Jesus has taken all of that. There was nothing that Jesus did not nail to the cross. And 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 to 5 says this about those thoughts: for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Remember that. It's not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy the stronghold. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Every thought, every argument that you came up with tonight as I was speaking about how horrible your world situation is, how horrible everything is in your life, and that, oh, just another message of God's peace, and I never encounter God's peace. You take that thought captive in the name of Jesus and cause it to come under the obedience of Christ, that thought has to be put aside. Because that is not the identity in which Christ has founded you in. When you put on the readiness of the gospel, you are putting on His peace. And His peace came to restore us in right relationship between God the Father. You are putting on God's shoes tonight, so that you could stand firm in Him. You have hobnails. You have hobnails in the Word of God that will fix you sure, no matter what circumstance. There's a promise in the Word of God for that circumstance. No matter what trial, there's a promise in the Word of God for that trial. You get out your Bible, you look it up in your concordance. If you don't know how to use a concordance, go ahead and use Google and ask Google a scripture verse about your problem. And you take that scripture verse and you read it each day. Use it as your belt of truth, your breastplate of righteousness. Use it as your gospel of peace, and let the gospel of peace be brought through your life to others around you. Next week, we're going to continue on in this series of the armor of God. But one last verse, it says this, therefore you have received Christ, Colossians 2 and 6. You have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Do you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you prayed that prayer of faith where you received Jesus' forgiveness in exchange for your sins? Then you have received Christ. Put on the gospel shoes. Put on the readiness of the gospel and walk in him. That's what Paul exhorts us to do. Tonight, may you be found walking in Christ. If you haven't made that commitment to Christ, if you haven't made that place of faith, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe you rose from the dead, and the empty tomb symbolizes a victory over sin and death. And Jesus, I receive that victory in my life. You can receive it tonight by simply praying, and you could walk in Christ. You can walk in him. As we continue next week on the shield of faith, we are going to start the next phase of this armor series, Take Up. And the first thing we're going to take up is the shield of faith. Father God, we thank you. We thank you once again for your word. I pray that right now, Lord, your word would be firmly established in our hearts, that the enemy put a guard over us, Almighty God, that the enemy would not come and snatch up the promises that we have received tonight. Our identity is in you. Our gospel shoes are firmly fixed. And Lord, tonight we will be carriers of your peace to others around us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The Lord bless you, and be sure as you sign off tonight that you go and register. You'll hear me say it like a broken record, that you go and register for Sunday morning service, because we want to see you here. It's the season of joy. The Prince of Peace has come, and so where better to find yourself but in the house of God this Christmas season? Register tonight at logoschurch.ca. Join us here tomorrow morning with Pastor Dino as he continues his morning devotions on Facebook Live, Instagram, and YouTube as he journeys us through Acts. God bless you and be with you. See you Sunday morning. Bye for now. Thank you.